Well, I'm thankful this morning for the hope of the gospel. And I'm thankful that not only does it speak to everyone else, which in my mind is you, but it also includes me too. And it is because of the hope of the gospel that we can go through life with courage, with hope, and with victory. This morning, Lord willing, I probably will conclude, at least for now, this more formal series of messages on being a people of victory. But really, that's a message that doesn't ever end. That's a message that we want to take with us all through our lives, remembering that we are a people of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, this is the final part for now, and it's part four. It is true that while we are yet mortals, and we are in a human state, we're going to face trouble in life. We're going to face unexpected disappointment. We're going to fail. Have my share of them. We're going to face tribulation. And really, nothing less was promised us. Jesus Christ told us that these things were going to be a reality for us in life. And it's true that, as we have talked about over the last few weeks, that we're probably going to have some unpleasant meetings with Mr. and Mrs. Despair, dejection, dismay, discouragement. Probably going to face some doubt in our lives. You ever face doubt? Probably going to come face to face with temptation to be a little deluded at times, believing something that's not true. And there's also times where you may rub shoulders with depression. These things are real. They affect our emotions. And as long as we are human beings living this life, the realities of those unpleasant characters will exist. They're not very nice people. And sometimes we allow ourselves too close of a relationship with them. But the good news this morning, the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus came to help us separate ourselves from their company. He came to pick us up out of the pits that we find ourselves in. He came to free up the room in our lives that we have rented out to things like discouragement and despair and doubt and depression. The Lord came to evict them if we'll allow Him, if we'll be willing to open up the door of our heart and our life and acknowledge that indeed we have been housing some of these things that haven't been helpful to us in life. Sometimes we don't like to admit it. Sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge I'm living in a state of discouragement. Try to paint it as something else. Sometimes it's hard for us to say to ourselves and to God, Lord, I'm struggling with doubt. Because we know doubt's not good. We know that the Scripture teaches against doubt. So sometimes we try to color it as something else, and we don't want to acknowledge to the Lord when he knocks on our door to say, that second room on the right down the hall, that's where I feed and house doubt. Sometimes we go through life and we're just feel dejected too often. But we don't want to acknowledge that to ourselves who wants to live a dejected life, particularly to the Lord, because we know that the Lord brought a message of something so much different. So these are realities that the Lord wants us to be honest about. He wants us to acknowledge them. He wants us to invite Him to come in to help us with these things that are spiritual barriers and trouble spots for us in life. The Lord wants us to be of good cheer this morning that He has come to help us in those places, to put a new song in our heart, to give us a peace that we before have not had. I want to ask you this question. Do you think that you have experienced all of the peace that God has for you? Do you think that you've experienced the blessings to overflowing, that the Bible has taught and promised? You think you've seen it all? I don't feel that way. But I've experienced enough to know that I want more. And I know that the Lord can do things for me that the enemy would like to speak to our hearts and say, that's not possible for you. Yes, you hear it at church. Yes, the preacher talks about it. Yes, you read it in the scriptures. But look, just quiet down, you know, like they told the blind man that cried out for Jesus. Just quiet down. Get back on your place on the curb. This is for real Christians. You might make it in, you might not, just be satisfied with where you're at. These promises are for the everyone else. The enemy likes to do that to us. And the Lord wants to come, and He wants to give you a peace that passes all understanding for you in your life. It's for you, not everyone else. Thank the Lord. This morning, I'd like to pivot just a little bit and reinforce how happy Jesus is with us. When we step outside of our boat of security in faith to draw closer to Him, and that if we fail in the process, if we stumble, if we don't do it quite right, if we err, if we begin to sink, in our endeavors to draw closer to the Lord, in our Christian life, that the Lord is not there to push us down, write us off, mark out our name from the Lamb's Book of Life, but He is there to extend His hand of mercy, to lift us up, to establish our going, and to make us stronger in the process. And I'd like to read such an account this morning in the 14th chapter of Matthew, in the 22nd verse. It said, and straightway, again, Matthew 14, 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, and He went up into a mountain apart, so He wasn't with the disciples, He sent them out into the water. Notice who it was that sent the disciples out into the waters. It wasn't their decision. It was Jesus' decision that said, you ought to get in the boat and go to the other side across this body of water right here. And then He went up into the mountains. And it said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Think about it as your life. The boat was in the midst of the sea, and it said that it was tossed with waves. And the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, and if you look that up, it sounds like it's about 3 a.m. It's one of the darkest parts of the night. And the wind's blowing and the waves are high and they're afraid and they're scared and it seems like their life is at risk and they can't see. And those are hard places in life. But what happened? It said that in the fourth watch, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You ever thought about being in the boat in the middle of the night and saw somebody walking along the water? That'd probably get my attention, probably do more than get my attention. I'd probably be just like they were, scared. If you'd never known about this before, I have a story that I could go back to if it helped me now, but if it happened to me then, that'd be fearful, wouldn't it? When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke and said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, it's me, y'all, it's Jesus, don't be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus gave a real long answer to Peter on what he should consider before he stepped out of the boat. No, that's not what it says. He had gave him a one-word response. Come. I almost said, come on. That'd be two words. He just said, come. And so Peter came out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, why dost thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I'd like to consider this just for a little bit this morning. And I want to reiterate that we started off where Jesus sent his disciples out into the water. In this 22nd verse, it said that he constrained them to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Do you think Jesus didn't know anything about the storm that was going to come? I think Jesus knew all about what was getting ready to go down. And yet, he sent them out. He said, "Tell you what, y'all need to get in the boat and you need to go over there," knowing full well that they were going to be challenged. And he also knew that in the end, they were going to be men stronger in their faith. That's what the 33rd verse said, that they worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They went away that day different than they ever were before that happened to them. Did you know that the Lord sends us out into storms too sometimes? Did you know that sometimes we get into the storm and we start resisting the devil as if it's the devil that puts us in every storm? Did you know that sometimes the Lord sends us into trouble places too? We as human beings, when we get into trouble, we are so ready to do everything we can to get ourselves out of the trouble as quickly as possible and wish that we'd had nothing to do with it. And sometimes it is the Lord that has us go into these places so that he can do something for us like he did for them. And he knows that he isn't going to let us drown. He knew he wasn't going to let these disciples drown. Well, the boat was getting in pretty bad shape, and he came out and walked on the water. He knew right when he needed to come, right in the middle of the night. In their trouble, maybe they were saying, "Where's Jesus? Who was it that told us to go across the other side?" You think they thought that? "I didn't think maybe we should go." Now, if it was a human being thinking, they might have said, "You know, I looked at the weather and I thought it might be a little rough. Jesus is the one that told us to go out here. We're just trying to do what he said to do, and here we are trying to obey what the Lord wanted me to do, and look what happened. We are just about ready to be turned over, and maybe we'll just perish right out here. Jesus is nowhere to be found." But no, he was to be found. He came walking on the water right in the middle of the night during their most difficult time, and he had some words for them. "It's me, y'all. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Yes, there's wind. Yes, the waves are high. Yes, your life looks like it's at risk, but I'm here. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid." Well, then what happened? Peter always seems to crop up, doesn't he? Whenever he's with the disciples, we hear a lot about Peter. So Peter, he goes from being fearful and troubled and scared for his life to all of a sudden saying, well, if you're not a spirit and you are Jesus Christ, how about I come out there where you are? I'll walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. And it said, when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Wait a minute. How many stepped out of the security of the boat? How many stepped out? All of them? Just Peter? Was it just the one that we always look at as the one that seems to fail Jesus? Was he the one that stepped out? Just one. He was the one that was willing to stretch his faith and step out of the boat and aim at something. Y'all have heard it said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit the target every single time. But if you aim at something and you miss, the Lord gives us opportunity to make course corrections, to learn from what it was that just happened, to help us be better next time. And that's what Peter, what was he doing when this happened? He was endeavoring to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He was endeavoring to get closer to where Jesus was. He left his place in the boat and got out in a very, he'd never walked on water before. No one else that I know of had ever walked on water before. And yet Peter was willing to step out of the security of the boat, however secure it felt during that troubled time, and become even more vulnerable for Jesus Christ. That was Peter's purpose, was to draw closer to Jesus. And knowing Peter, he might have enjoyed walking on the water too. And yes, he started walking out there and he started looking around and did just probably exactly what a lot of us would do. He got scared because he saw the wind and the waves and he cried out and he was scared, but he recognized his need of Jesus and he called out to the one that he knew could save him. And we know what happened. And I'm encouraged and challenged by this account because we get called into uncertain places too. The Lord isn't going to leave us in the security of your boat your whole life. The Lord is going to call us to places where you feel vulnerable before Him. He's going to call us to uncertain places that we've never been before. And this account is not just what not to do, but it's what to do as well. Sometimes we think about this account as, yeah, you know the account when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter stepped out and he got on the water and he just started to sink. Well, you don't want to do that. If you're going to get out on the water, don't sink. This account tells us just as much what we should do as what we shouldn't do. Step out of your boat. Be willing to get outside of your comfort zone. Be willing to go draw closer to Jesus when He bids us. Be willing to exercise faith in Him when you look around and say, well, I've never done that before. That looks really scary. It looks like I could sink out there. But Jesus just said, come. Come closer. Have something special for you. Come. And He wants us to be willing to step out of the boat and come towards Him. Believe into Him to the point that you're willing to be vulnerable for Jesus Christ. Are you willing to be vulnerable for the Lord? Or do we draw lines around the options that we say are available for us and the Lord? Well, I'll live for the Lord, but I'm not going any farther than this. Well, I'll follow the Lord, but this is the extent of where I'm going right here. And we have all these reasons as to why. Well, they had a lot of reasons why nobody should be walking on the water, too. But this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus can help you walk on water. He can help keep you from sinking in the places where you naturally would sink. because of His power. And He wants us to be willing to step out and be like Peter was here. Let's learn from this. Peter did. He did a good thing here. And when you fail, if and when you fail, when you step out of your boat and you begin to get in unknown territory and you feel vulnerable before the Lord, and you start to feel like that you're sinking, instead of delaying to seek Him and say, well, I think I'm going to just try to handle this on my own. And sometimes we just feel like in our own strength, I'll figure this out, I'll get it. Reach out to the Lord immediately. And don't accept drowning either. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm starting to sink, I guess I'm just going to drown. Well, I knew I shouldn't have got out of the boat. And instead of reaching out with expectation to the Lord, it's like, well, there's one down. I guess Jesus will be the only one up. I'm just going to drown. I'm just in a drowned state. I knew I should never have done this in the first place. You ever felt that way? I mean, we may have all felt that way before. But Peter, when he started to go down, he cried out to the Lord for help. And what happened? And the Lord let him go down below the water and bob up and down and gasp for breath. And pretty soon he was unconscious and was almost drowned. That's not what it says. It said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now sometimes we think we're drowning and we're not. Sometimes we think, I can't go anymore, I'm going to drown. The Lord's looking on and he knows you got a long ways to go before you drown. You just keep the faith and keep pushing. You're not about to drown. You're good. You're okay. You just stubbed your toe. You don't know what real pain is yet. You'll be good. But he doesn't let us get to the place where you're going to drown. Now, a human being underneath water is going to drown. And Peter was starting to sink. And Jesus, in his mercy, reached down immediately, stretched forth his hand and picked him up because he cared and he loved the one that was willing to step out of the boat and come closer to him while all the rest of them were still in the boat. And maybe I would have been in the boat too. But I'm just saying, Peter stepped out of the boat. And what did Jesus say to him? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'd like to consider for a minute the different ways we could read this verse. We could read this verse and interpret it this way, and if you give me just a little bit of liberty. O thou of little faith, why did you, Peter, doubt me? You are a failed disciple. You are a sorry excuse for somebody that has put their trust in me. Here you are. You knew who I was. I told you who I was. And here you are sinking. Loss of faith. Why possibly did you doubt? And we can feel the same way. When we fail, we can allow the enemy to come in like a flood and just crush us. Oh, there you go again. Oh, maybe we should just call you not just Doubting Thomas, but now we got a second. We got a Doubting Peter. We'll just add you to that list. And the enemy just like to come in and push us around and cause us to think all of the most unpleasant things about how we just failed. But how about this? Jesus probably standing out there with a smile on his face. Oh, Peter, you didn't have to doubt here. You're getting a little wet down there. Let me pick you back up. You stepped out of that boat with so much faith, and here you are. You know who I am, Peter. You didn't have to doubt. There's more faith for you here. Let me help you up. Let me pick you up. Good job getting out here. Now, let's walk back to the boat. Did you notice that it said that the storm didn't cease till they got back to the boat? I think that's kind of how it said it. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. It's almost like the Lord said, all right, Peter, we are going to get on this horse again. We're going to walk on the water in the midst of the wind. I'm not going to say peace be still yet. You can do this through my strength. Here, let me help you back up. Okay, now you're on your feet. Now let's try it again. And they walked back to the boat with the wind and the storm and the waves still going. And then when they got back in the boat, then Jesus probably said, all right, that's enough. Mission accomplished. Peace be still. Don't need that anymore. Did you know that the Lord loves us too? And when we fail in our endeavor to draw closer to Jesus Christ, He's not going to let us drown. He's not going to find reasons to try to crush us and cause us to feel like we're abject failures, that aren't worthy of being followers of God, that we're not dear children, that we just need to join the ranks of second-class Christians who have a past of failure. That's not what Jesus came to do. I can't find one single example in the Scriptures where Jesus was harsh, judgmental, condemning to anybody that came to Him with an honest desire for help. Can you? It's not like that the Lord is going to say to us, now look, I know that you want to serve me. I know that you have your faith in me. I know that you realize that it's not of works, lest any man should boast, and you're trusting in me, and I know that you're willing to take up your cross and follow me and deny yourself, but look, I got to tell you, you have way too much peace and trust in me. You are way too happy. But I'm going to have to dismiss you from the table because you're not good enough. I get it that you trust me. I get it that your faith is in me, but you just don't have what it takes. Is there an example like that anywhere in the Scriptures? I have found exactly the opposite in the Scripture. For people that want to serve the Lord, for people who want to be a follower of God, He is there to help us and to pick us up when we fail, and to teach us and to help make us stronger and to set our feet on solid ground, help us to learn some things for the next time. Why then do we make up such stories about our own lives that He's going to do something different than that? That's the enemy talking to us. We don't need to do that. Jesus came to bring us abundant life. And we've quoted different times through the last several weeks the Scripture that said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That does not include living a life where we feel like we're just barely hanging on to our salvation by our fingernails, where we feel like that the Lord is looking for the first place to cut us off because we've doubted too much, or we weren't sure about something, or we stumbled and we've failed. Abundant life doesn't include serving a Lord who's finding all of the reasons to separate us from His family. Exactly the opposite. That's not the victory that the Lord came to bring us. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's not of God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what He came to bring us. We are not a defeated people. We are a people of victory. The Lord wants us to be a people of victory. We have a cause. We have a purpose. We are following the captain of the Lord of hosts that has never been defeated. And He's saying, hey, y'all, come follow me. I will see you home. I will see you home in victory. And if you fall, if you start to get out of line, if you start to wander off, I will come to you and help you understand what you need to do to be right so that you can continue following me and be a Christian and be saved and enjoy the rest that I have to give you. Don't believe other things that come from the enemy. Let's be encouraged today. I don't want to allow the enemy to steal away from me the peace and the rest that Christ came to bring. He came to bring us peace. And for clarity this morning, I'm not preaching to a people who are just looking for ways to live however you want to live. That's not who I'm preaching to this morning. Yes, the Lord calls us to take up our cross. He calls us to deny ourselves. He is calling us to be committed and set apart unto God, holy living. And remember, we don't need to be scared about being categorized as a holy people. It doesn't mean that we have been perfected in every sense of the word and we have arrived spiritually. But we are committed. We're dedicated to His cause. We are willing to be set apart unto Him. We are not going to allow sin to have the last say in our lives. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal members. We are people here this morning that aren't going to just say, oh, well, sin you will, sin you must, and sin's just going to dominate my life, but I'm sure thankful for the blood of Jesus, but this is how I'm going to live over here. That's not who I'm preaching to today. The scriptures don't teach that we accept sin reigning in our lives. Will we come across places of failure? Will we have times in our lives where we go, oh, I've sinned. I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did do it, and now what's going to happen to me? Listen, keep your heart and your mind and your life focused on Jesus Christ, where that's who you want to follow. And if you fail, get back up and cry out for help. If you need to repent, repent, but don't give up. Don't give in to drowning. Sin doesn't have to reign in your life. If you come in touch with it, separate yourself from it. You don't have to let it have the last say in your life. But if that is where we're coming from in life, and our purpose is to follow the Lord and to give Him our whole heart and our life, and if we fall down, we're going to be the ones that are going to get back up and be defined as a people that get up when we fall. When we do that and we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with the Lord and we're not just looking to find however we can live, how to suit ourselves and see what all we can get by with. And, well, I don't think this is necessary and I don't think that's necessary. And the scriptures don't really say I have to do that, so maybe I can get by with that. And I don't know why they teach that. That's not what I'm talking about today, a people that's trying to live like that. Preaching to a people who have their whole heart, I want to serve the Lord. I want to follow Him. Do I have it all right? No. Are there some things that maybe I believe that the Lord wants to help me in my belief so they have a better understanding of truth? Yes, I haven't arrived. But if my heart is there, my whole heart, Lord, I'm going to follow You all the way. He sees that. He knows that. And He wants us to be of good cheer and be a people of victory. Our power, our strength, our victory doesn't come through my own righteousness. It comes from the righteousness of God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this morning the Lord wants to happily reinforce to you that your power and your strength and your salvation comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through His power. It comes through His righteousness, lest any man should boast. To me, that takes a big load off my shoulders. Not so that I can go live however I want, but to know that the Lord loves me and He's going to help carry me all the way through. Jesus repeatedly exhorts us, yea, commands us to fear not. Why? So that fear not because you have so much strength and power within yourselves that you can make it? No. Fear not and believe because of His power to keep us from failing. Oh, you say, there he goes, from failing, but I have failed and I might fail again. Yes, and it goes farther than just giving us power not to fail, which He does. He gives us strength. He has places. He has land for us to possess where we don't have to fail in the same places that we fail before. But get a hold of this. If you fail the available grace of God, we have the opportunity to avail ourselves of the available grace of God that we might be saved through Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. If you fail
the available grace of the Lord. He has made provision so that we can avail ourselves of the available, unmerited favor of God, that we might continue to have peace and rest in our souls. He is and has the power to keep that which was committed unto Him against that day. And I believe it this morning. And I'd like to end with this. Way back in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, it said, "A just man falleth seven times and rises again." How? Why? Because of the blood, the love, and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. This morning, go in faith. Be of good cheer, for we are a people of victory through the power and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for me. I want to be true.